People don't realize what humble beginnings these guys came from.
That's just it, Mike. I mean, these guys, I mean, look at Elvis. I mean, Elvis, you know, when he started recording at Sun, he lived at Lauderdale Courts, which was basically the same thing my dad lived here. I mean, it's a public government housing where you paid 1 week or whatever you made a month for rent. That's the way it was, and I mean, it was the same for Elvis, and I mean, you know, he came up from Tupelo, had a tough life, and of course, John Cash, I mean, you know, they worked in the fields. They were sons of shoppers, but, you know, the thing about it is, I think that was a big part of their music, their heritage, their musical heritage. I know it was where my dad was concerned. I mean, you know, I think if you had taken a young Carl Perkins out of the cotton fields where he had to go to make a living to eat when he was a kid. But if you had taken him out of that, what would have happened to the music? I think it was, especially Carl Perkins' music, I think it took that. I think it took it with Elvis, with the gospel, the black gospel that he so dearly loved.
Etched in my memory, you may remember this too, but I was watching, I think it was Johnny Carson, one night in the early 70s, and your dad was a guest. But he was talking about his beginnings, and he picked cotton, of course, and I believe talking about how he grew up on probably a tenant farm.
That's correct.
Sharecropper's farm.
Yeah. My dad was up until, he moved to Jackson, Tennessee when he was 14, 15 years old, but up until then, before then, he lived in Lake County, Tennessee, where Wilfoot Lake, people, hunters, are familiar with that, duck hunters and all. But he lived there for at least the first 14 years of his life, and that's how they lived. They were sharecroppers, and they just they worked in the fields with the black folks at the time.
And that was a huge influence on the music.
It was probably the biggest influence. The big thing was, if you could ever get big enough to go to the Grand Ole Opry, then you'd made it. That was the pinnacle of success, being on the Grand Ole Opry. But, you know, they'd listen to Saturday night, they'd listen to those country singers like Ernest Tubb. One of my dad's favorites was Bill Monroe. Now, I can understand why it would be. There you got the bluegrass and the up-tempo music of Bill Monroe, which had the more rhythm to it about it, but you know, the Elvis, John Cash, they all loved all the same country artists, and were greatly influenced by them. But then you take living from day to day in the fields and listen to the blacks sing the most spiritual out there, you know, out in the fields, trying to forget about how hard the work is and how hot the sun may be, singing those songs together. Well, you take some a young kid like Carl Perkins, who has a dream of being behind a microphone. I'm sure Elvis had the same dream. And then you take that music that's happening out in that field, and you couple it with what you're hearing on the radio with country music. To me, that's rockabilly.
We live in such an area here, East Arkansas, West Tennessee, North Mississippi, with Memphis the hub of it. It all got mixed into a stew, didn't it, Stan?
It was one of those things, and this is where I credit Sam Phillips so much. People talk about the genius of Sam Phillips, and he was, I mean, he could get a sound out of that little old studio, Sun Studio. But I think the biggest thing that Sam Phillips was that he was able to reach within these young guys and pull out what they might have been too shy to have done. He was able to do that and instill into them the confidence to be yourself. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. We're going to do it the way you feel it. And that was the genius of Sam Phillips, to me, that he was able to instill that in these young, you know, country guys that were just, you know, really, if you think about it, Mike, what else did they have? They didn't have education. I mean, my dad had an eighth grade education. Now, Elvis was lucky. He got to graduate high school. John Cash, I think he might have graduated, I'm not sure. But I know him, in the case of my dad, he quit in the eighth grade. So, I mean, he had no job skills. He'd had no education. The only thing we could really reach for was something like music. My dad knew at an early age the only way he's going to get out of cotton field would be with music.
Another mutual friend of ours is, of course, Sonny Burgess from here near Jonesboro, Newport, Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
Sonny is being honored at his hometown high school, Newport High School.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. There are four people. They honor graduates of the high school every year who've done well, and one of those is Sonny Burgess. And, you know, he has a high school education. As you say, that's kind of the exception, not the rule. And he grew up the son of a sharecropper. It's the same story. And he's told me, you know, I didn't want to pick cotton all my life. I'd rather pick a guitar. And that's what got him out of those fields. Exactly.
It. You know, I've never picked cotton. I don't know whether you have or not.
Yes, I have.
I don't care how young you are. Your back's going to get sore.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, this was their outlet out. And I know that it was in the case of my dad. And this is what he saw that could make a difference in his life, and lo and behold, it did.